gridiron.
Shut your mouth, podcasting.
Yards, touchdowns.
Shut your mouth, podcasting. First round draft pick. Believe we got stats, kid. Quarterback sacking. 100-yard dashing. So tap in for the action.
Welcome to the Sim Podcast Show. I'm your co-host, Eric, and I'm always joined by my co-host, Ron. What's good, Ron?
What's going on?
You know what we do? We talk about the National Football League on a weekly basis, including the playoffs, and we're talking about the draft, post-draft. And by the way, this is episode number 120. Was it 122 or 123? This is episode 122. Excuse me. So, Ron, we are going to talk about our team's draft picks, but before we do that, let's talk about the NFL news. And I know it's been over a week now since the draft, but how are you feeling? I know we're going to talk about the Steelers in a bit, but overall, how are you feeling about this draft?
I feel good. I think it was a good draft for both our teams, actually. You know, this is the lull, though, right, between the draft and, you know, when the season starts. So the next few weeks will be a little bit slow and depressing until we actually get, you know, started with practice and, you know, stuff like that, camp.
Yeah, I mean, this is the pre-show before we go on YouTube with a whole new setup. So we're doing this podcast audio only, but, you know, this is just the appetizer, so to speak, before we go into full gear. So, Ron, I want to talk about when we were watching the draft, Jacksonville was the only one that really made a move. They took Travis Hunter number 2. They made a trade to the Cleveland Browns. Who was the winner here? Was it Jacksonville or the Cleveland Browns?
Well, initially, I would say it's Cleveland, just about, you know, just based on the number of picks they got. But the way they used the picks was just flat out stupid to me, in my opinion. I don't think they took advantage of all the picks they got. So I'm going to give it to Jacksonville. They went all in. They made a splash move to get the best, what I think is the best player in the draft. And it's not like they're like one player away, you know, from making, you know, the playoffs or anything like that. But why not? You know, why not get someone in there that can sell tickets? Maybe be the face of the, you know, your franchise, face of the NFL even, you know, in the future. So I'm excited for them. You know, I hope that they don't mess it up. You know, I hope they can make it work with him.
I don't know if Jacksonville was a winner here because, yeah, the Browns kind of fumbled the draft pick, but this is year number 5-6 with Trevor Lawrence. Is he any good? Like, is he? Because now I feel like he has the weapons. He had first Hunter. He had last year's rookie as a wide receiver. He has a decent running back. So, like, why does Jacksonville keep giving him all these weapons, but yet they're still not good? So you tell me, like, why is Jacksonville going all out on Trevor Lawrence? I know he got an extension a year ago, but
yeah, they're kind of stuck with him, right? At least for one or two more years. So if he's going to be the quarterback, there's no sense in, you know, doing anything other than putting some additional weapons, giving him some additional weapons at this point. So they, you know, they have no choice at this point. You know, they just got to ride it out. You know, the alternative is to move on from Lawrence. You're not going to find a team to trade for him, though, at that salary. You're going to have to eat it. So might as well give it at least another year with him, see what you got, see what he can do. You know, he's had a number of injuries. If he can kind of overcome that now, maybe with better coaching, you know, something might click and he can get back to being who he was, I think, when he first came into the league with all the hype and stuff like that.
So do you think that with this Travis Hunter joining them, they're going to win that division?
No, not necessarily. Like I said, I think Travis Hunter will make the team better for sure, without a doubt, right? So it gives them a number 2 receiver. That's going to be extremely explosive. It gives them a corner. I wouldn't say Travis Hunter is a shutdown corner, but a very serviceable corner. Maybe they put him out to safety or something like that. I think they'll improve for sure. I don't know what order they'll finish in. I think my guess it's going to be, you know, first or second place rather than third or fourth place. So,
So you think they're obviously Houston is probably going to win that division. Are they better than the Colts right now?
I think so. I think there's way too many questions around their quarterback situation. I know Daniel Jones, I think, is there. He'll probably end up like starting at some point. But there's a lot of question marks around the quarterback situation there.
And we know the Titans are in basically a rebuild mode.
Right.
So, yeah. Let's talk about the Sanders fallout, because obviously nobody drafted him till the fifth round by... We just talked about the Cleveland Browns. What do you think that... Was it a collusion? Was it all the owners saying, no, don't draft this guy? Like, why do you think he fell down so far?
Listen, I think it was a little bit of both. I do think teams got together and talked about how poor of an interview he was, how much of an ego he has, how he didn't prepare for a lot of questions and stuff like that. You know, during the interview process, didn't take it seriously. And I think teams had conversations about that. But at the same time, I put it all on Sanders. It's not like, you know, this is anything new. He's been like that all throughout, you know, his time in Colorado. Very arrogant, in my opinion. You know, a lot of antics, childish antics on the field.
Selling his brand,
which is fine. That put you off. You know, out of football stuff, that doesn't bother me, but it's what you do on the field, how you carry yourself on the field, that bothers me. And there are a lot of times I think I saw examples of just like a lack of maturity on the field. Now, I could say I've seen that too from like players like Baker Mayfield when he played too. But, you know, with Sanders, it's like, if you're going to act like that, you should win almost every game, right? And it's not like Colorado won in every game. They struggled its first year, second year. That was a little bit of struggle, too. They, you know, barely made a bowl game. So, you know, I just don't think... I think he thinks way too high of himself. It's not to say he's not talented, but I think where he values himself is way different than what the rest of the league, where the rest of the league values him.
So do you think he has more talent or less talent than the quarterbacks drafted before him?
I think he has equal talent to probably a lot of those quarterbacks, but he had a better season statistically than some of the quarterbacks that were drafted in front of him. Yes. I think he doesn't have the strongest arm. He has good accuracy, but he takes a lot of sacks. A lot of it, you know, because of him holding on to the ball too long, not going through his progressions and stuff like that. Now, there's all the other quarterbacks, too, have their issues. So it's not like this was a great quarterback class or anything. I think if it was just about how he played on the field, maybe he deserves to go a little bit higher. I don't think he's a first round talent. I never did. But, you know, if you add on top of his average play, or better than average play, you add the fact that he might not be coachable. He has a little bit of arrogance. He carries that with him. And then you got his father that's been very vocal, right, over the last couple months or so. And you know, going forward, he's going to continue to be vocal. It's not like he's going to stop if, you know, Sanders isn't playing. If Sanders is on the bench and I have an opportunity to play, you're going to hear that from Deion. So if you take all of that together collectively, if I'm an NFL team too, I'm not saying I'm avoiding him altogether, but I'm probably not drafting him anywhere in the top 4 or 5 rounds.
I mean, I understand that he, you know, he had the baggage, he had, you know, he had the entitlement issue, he had, you know, all those things that are not football related.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think that, you know, this is, he still got talent. There was a lot of quarterbacks taken before him that he probably, it's a better quarterback all around. Not, you know, not arm strength, not like accuracy and all that stuff, but I just thought he got a raw deal.
You feel bad for him, though?
I don't feel bad for him.
Right, because he caused a lot of, like...
A lot of it is self, you know, self-inflicted. Right. So I don't feel bad. I just feel like this is what happens when you act that way.
Yeah.
You're going to be okay.
Yeah.
Because, they, you know, eventually he'll be in the roster and he'll make the team. I'm thinking he's going to make the Cleveland Brown team.
I don't know. That goes back to what we were talking about earlier with, like, Brown taking advantage of all the picks. Like, it's so stupid. Like, their draft, it didn't make any sense, you know, taking the Oregon quarterback first, I think, what, round three or four, I think they took him, which made no sense. Everyone saw him as a sixth round pick. And then to come back later and take your fifth quarterback when you just signed Flacco, you traded for Kenny Pickett, you still got Deshaun Watson, didn't make any sense. And if I was to ask someone, like, you know, who's going to be the three quarterbacks on the team when the season starts, I don't know if Sanders is going to be one of the three that's on that team.
I think Sanders will be there. I don't know if that quarterback is going to be there.
Why would you? So you're giving up on your third or fourth round pick, whatever he was?
I mean,
why invest such a high or mid round pick on someone who's not going to make
doesn't
the team?
Doesn't make sense what the GM did with his draft and what. And
then who's the other one you're cutting then?
You know Watson is not going to be ready. And they gave Flacco this money, but just because you got money doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
You know, just look at what happened with Kirk Cousins. Just got money doesn't mean that you're going to be, you know, starting. So, listen.
Flacco might be the best quarterback on that roster right now.
Flacco might be starting, but I still don't think Sanders is going to be completely out of the mix. Talking about Sanders, we're talking about the prank call that happened with him and this, you know, the Saints fake pick. Falcons were fined for it because the defensive coordinator left his iPad open and
allegedly
and his son grabbed the phone number. And you mentioned earlier that this has happened multiple times with a draft pick. So do you think that the NFL just needs to tighten up security, or do you think that this is human error?
I think this has been an ongoing issue for a number of years, and some of it does get reported. Players will come out and say, yeah, it was just pranked or whatever. But the NFL, what can the NFL do, right? They are only providing the phone number for these players to a select group of people on each team. Like, when that number gets out to someone else and you get pranked, you can only assume that it's coming from within. So I think teams need to take ownership of protecting people's phone numbers and not leave their iPad loose. And maybe the whole team or your whole coaching staff doesn't need to have the contact number. It just needs to be the head coach or GM, and that's it, you know? No one else should have the phone number.
Why the defense coordinator has access to this stuff? Like, if I can actually understand why the Falcons got fined, because this is really a Falcons slip up. Like, hey, why does this guy has all this contact information? What's the percentage of defensive coordinator contacting a potential candidate? I don't know. I think that it's very frivolous. They just need to tighten up the whole circle who has access to these people's phone numbers.
And they're saying it's more than 10 people have been impacted or been pranked this year already. So, and again, you know, we're talking about Sanders, but there's a lot of other players that
Abdul Carter.
Yeah. Have been pranked, so
it's kind of running rampant. The last thing that I want to talk about is the Bill Belichick interview, because to be honest, I saw the interview. Yes, I can understand that she's kind of, and I'm talking about Bill Belichick's girlfriend, Jordan Hudson. I know that she's playing two roles, right? Being the PR person and she's Bill Belichick's side piece. So, is this a good idea, Ron? When has this actually worked out where you have your significant other run your business for you? And I know that family, you know, oh, this is just family, but that's family. We're talking about a girlfriend here. So, Ron, is this going to work out for Bill Belichick?
Probably not, but why, you know, why should I care? Like, why should anyone care, to be honest with you? The guy's like 70-something years old. If this is what he wants to do with the last 5-6 years of his life, so be it.
I mean, he's basically going to be in the Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. He's basically already got the Super Bowl titles. Like, let him do whatever he wants to do.
Yeah.
Like, I think that people are blowing it out of proportion. I think that it's going into, like, beyond the NFL news. It's like pop culture now. It's a thing to talk about. Like, oh, look at this relationship, blah blah. Like,
well, it's awkward to begin with because the age difference in itself, right?
And now, like, you know, University of North Carolina is coming out and saying, like, oh, we're like, we know about it.
Yeah,
we know where Jordan's alliance is coming from. So yeah, I think it's being blown out of proportion. So, yeah. Let him live a life. All right. Let's talk about our draft for our teams. And, Ron, how did the Steelers do?
Listen, we did great. I am happy with how the draft went. I don't know if you want to talk about what our predictions were and how it lined up, but it pretty much went exactly like I thought it would. You know, I expected the first round pick to be defensive line. I didn't believe any of the smoke screen that, you know, Steelers were putting out about, you know, drafting a quarterback and giving Jackson Dart a first round grade and all this other stuff. I originally projected them to get Walter Nolan. He actually ended up going much earlier. And Harmon, who I think is actually the better prospect, fell because of some injury concerns. So, they ended up with Derek Harmon with the first pick at 21. So,
did you predict them grabbing a quarterback, though?
Yeah. I had them choosing Will Howard in round 3. They got Will Howard in round 6. So, they ended up with the quarterback I chose just much later in the draft. So, I thought I did a pretty good job with my projections. I had them taking a running back in round 3, which they did. They ended up with Caleb Johnson. I had DJ Diggins. I didn't think Caleb Johnson, who many had in the top five running back, would fall that far, but he did. And I think Steelers left out by grabbing him. They had Jack Sawyer and Edge. I did not project them to take an outside linebacker, but Sawyer should not have been on the board this late in round 4. So they took him with the 123rd pick. Yaya Black, another defensive line, they double dip, which I, you know, again, in the last podcast, I talked about the importance for Steelers to double dip on the offensive line or defensive line, excuse me. They did that. They got the guy I thought they'd end up with, but they got him much earlier. They chose him much earlier in round 5. Will Howard again, they picked him in round 6. They got an inside linebacker in round 7 and a cornerback in round 7 as well. Those two, you know, I didn't have them taking an inside linebacker. I did have them taking a defensive back in round 5, a safety. They did a lot of homework on the safety position, but it doesn't look like they didn't go out and draft any safety.
Yeah, they went with a cornerback, right?
Yeah, so they went with a cornerback in the late round, Dante Kent out of Central Michigan, so we'll see if some of these guys make the team on the back half of the draft. I guess where I was surprised when it comes to the draft is just ending up with the edge in Jack Sawyer and then not taking a safety. I think those are my two biggest surprises, especially just given the amount of homework they did on the safety position. Just kind of surprised they didn't go out and try to grab one there.
So what would you give this overall? I know that it's a lot of grades. Mm-hmm. Everyone is told about the grade. But why would you give this grade?
I thought it was a solid draft. I think Omar Khan, in his 3 years as GM, has done an outstanding job drafting. I give this a solid B plus. not going to go higher than that. I probably could with those first three picks, just because I think you just got, you know, what you got in terms of like where you drafted those players. I thought they were bargains for sure. And then Will Howard, you know, you're talking about a winner that just won the national championship, right? I'm not going to say he's the best quarterback, but he has the height, the size, 6'4", 237, I think. You're talking about Big Ben height and weight, basically. Just not his arm strength. I'm very pleased. Now, time will tell. I hate giving grades out this early. You're not going to know for a couple years, right, how good these players are. But I'm, you know, for the most part, just looking at who they got, I'm pretty pleased with how they did.
Yeah, I think that they drafted well. I think that you're right. They didn't fall for that smoke about drafting a QB early. They just said, you know what, we're just going to draft for defense. Mike Tomlin loves the defense, and I think that, you know, it was right up their alley. They didn't stray too far from what worked. So.
Yeah, again, the biggest needs coming into the draft was defensive tackle, quarterback, and running back, and they solved all three pretty early. I mean, quarterback, like I said, they took late, but I'm pretty sure they're comfortable and confident Rodgers will be there at some point. So it might not be a huge need to take quarterback early.
Yeah, I think that they were smart. They didn't fall for all those traps that mm-hmm. people were talking about. So yeah, I like the draft for the Steelers. Now for the Patriots, I'm gonna say again, they get an A. I'm gonna say right now they get an A. We don't know if these people are gonna pan out, because last year they drafted for needs and it didn't pan out. But this year, they got some steals. And, you know, let's talk about the fourth pick, Will Campbell. I always knew that they needed a left tackle.
We'll see if he sticks at that position.
He wasn't the greatest, but he was available and they needed a left tackle. Nimbu went to the Jets, so they needed a left tackle too, but I like the fact that they got Trayvon Henderson from Ohio State. He's right up the catching running back. He's right up Josh Alley. He might be a three down back.
He knows? He's the best, probably arguably the best pass protector coming out of all the running backs this season. He's outstanding at protecting for the quarterback.
And there's a nugget that I learned that he, 3 years at Ohio State, he never fumbled.
Mm-hmm.
He never fumbled. So he got good hands. Third round pick, they got Kyle Williams. That to me is the steal of the draft, because I was watching, what's his name, the receiver. I can't remember now because I have a couple of bourbons.
But Steve Smith or Chad?
Steve Smith, yes, thank you. Steve Smith podcast, and he said, Kyle Williams reminds me of me.
Yeah.
Because he's a dog. And I was like, wow. Wow.
It's interesting because some people, if you looked at certain websites, they had Kyle Williams like maybe the 8th, 9th, or 10th receiver. But then you had people like Steve Smith. You had Chris Sims, too, had Williams as like his second or third best receiver coming out in this draft. So I agree. Those first three picks are outstanding. And the draft altogether, A+. Just a really, really great draft.
Yeah, they did a good job. They got Wilson from center from Georgia because they wanted a backup center for in case that Minnesota center didn't work out. Craig Woodson, a safety from California.
Mm-hmm. That's the safety. I mentioned Steelers were doing a lot of homework on safety. That name had been tied to the Steelers a lot. Someone that, you know, relatively tall, can tackle real well, move, you know, pretty good as well. So I think he's going to be a good player. Round four was probably a little bit early. If that's where you got him. But I think he's going to be a good player.
I think so, too. They got two extra picks. They got Julian Ashby from Vanderbilt. They got Kobe Miner from Memphis. So those were, but they got the kicker that I predicted from out of Miami in the seventh round, Borgales. A lot of people are saying, I know, you know, the weather in Miami is different and New England, blah, blah, blah. Listen, this dude was like something like in the 90s as far as his accuracy. So he's just going to kick extra points and maybe a game winner there. But let's see how he does in the weather. And then they got, you know, they got the Florida State defensive end, Farmer. So
I'm
over the moon. I think this is a good start.
It's the first step, right? The first step in rebuilding your team.
Because they told, basically, if you look at this draft, they told May, hey, we got you, man. We got you. We know you need weapons. We know you need a left tackle. We got you. And that, to me, that's a grade A draft. Now, like you said, we don't know if these players are actually going to make the team. But, wow. Wow. This is, you know, Elliot Wolf. I don't know what happened last year where you were like maybe thinking differently. This year, new head coach, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. Everything is proper. So I give them an A. I really like what they did this year.
Yeah, let me ask you a couple things. Receivers, right? So you have Stephon Diggs. You just drafted Williams now. What does this mean for the other guys on the team? Who's not making the team a receiver? I think that's my question mark.
I looked at the list, and the list is long. So you got Polk, you got Baker, you got Booty, you got Stephon Diggs, you got Douglas, you got Williams.
So let's start. Who's a lock?
Well, obviously, Diggs is a lock. You got Douglas is a lock.
You think those two are a lock?
Yeah, you got to have Douglas in, because then you have
Williams
who's going to probably be a wide receiver. He's going to go for number one. He's going to go for Diggs as a number one. So we got Diggs, we got Douglas, we got Williams. Then it gets a little bit iffy, because then you got Butte, who's actually has a good...
He had a decent season.
Yeah, he had a decent season. Good repertoire with May. Then you got Polk and Baker. They're the two men out. Like,
well, those are your rookies last year. And then Mac Collins, too.
They got Mac Collins. So this is going to be interesting.
Yeah, it's going to be, I don't know, crazy.
It's going to be like, hey... I don't know what, it all depends on what Josh likes. Obviously, Josh was a coach in the Raiders and will have Mike Collins there. So he likes him. We'll just see what happens going forward.
Yeah, but competition.
Competition is good. It's good. And I think that was one of Bill's favorite things, is like, hey, you got to compete. Got to compete. So we'll see. We'll see how this offensive scheme goes, but I really, really like Trayvon Harrison. I really, really like Kyle Williams and Will Campbell. Maybe he'll move on to guard, but at least
he's a good player. He's a great player. Least
I think we're gonna have like 10 years of Will Campbell.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
I don't know if he's gonna be a left tackle or a guard, but he's gonna be on the team.
And right.
Already, they already said that Cole Strange are not picking up his option. So. He might be out on the fringe after this year, so we'll see. Ron, I want to talk about the offensive and defensive rookie of the year. I know this is way too early. Oh, who is your pick for offensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to give it to Cam Ward since he plays a quarterback position, but I'm going to give it to
you. Think he's going to start? Right off the bat.
Absolutely. You don't take player number one overall if you're not planning on putting him in. And they saw what they had last year anyways, you know, from the quarterbacks. So he's going to be starting. He'll have probably the best odds of getting it. Genty, though, you know.
That's what I'm going with, Genty.
Genty's obviously he's going to be the workhorse for the Raiders. So I think he has a good chance of getting it too, but I think, you know, if Ward plays and plays well, he'll get it. It's his to lose.
I'm not really confident on Cam Ward because I don't think he has the weapons. I know he has one good receiver in the Titans. I forgot his name right now, but I don't know if he has a good running back. I don't know if he has a good option too. I don't know what the tight end situation is with Titans, but I like Denty to be the offensive rookie of the year. Travis Hunter might be a number two, but it depends on what Lawrence does, so I'm going to go with that. Who's your defensive rookie of the year right now?
I'm going to give it to Travis Hunter. I don't know.
He's going to play cornerback?
Yeah, I think he's going to play both ways for sure. He'll probably start off at receiver. That will he'll do most of. But he's going to play both ways for sure. And then once he's on the field, man, like I said, I don't know if he's a shutdown corner necessarily, but his ball skills, his instincts out there, he's going to make a lot of good plays out there in the secondary for sure.
I think I'm going to go with Jalen Walker on this one. I think the Falcons are going to use him. I think that if they get some kind of lead, they're going to just release the Hound Dogs, and I think Jalen Walker might be out there. That guy, the Michigan, I don't know if he's going to start right away. Let me just check. Was it the Panthers that drafted him? I don't know.
Let's see. The Browns. It was the Browns that ended up with him, Mason Graham.
There you go.
Yeah, he'll start.
He'll start.
We'll see. We'll see how he ends up performing. You know, he'll be able to learn from, what's his face there. So, there's some really good, there's a very deep defensive tackle class.
Very deep.
Some decent secondary players, but I mean, Hunter is so dynamic. He's outstanding.
Abdul Carter is going to start?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I think he's more of a situational type player.
Third down.
I think he's going to be great at rushing the quarterback, but what happens when you run right at him, is it, like, how good is he going to be if you're running right at him? That's what I question with him. The Giants have, two outstanding outside linebackers and then Thibodeau, right? The third. So they got a lot of pass rushers. I think he's going to be, like I said, part of a rotation with those other guys. I don't think he's going to be like an every down player at all. It's definitely a specialized package player. And so his snaps will probably be a little bit limited.
Yeah, this was a heavy defensive line, offensive line type of draft, right? We saw a lot of guys being drafted, not so much skill guys, but up in the trenches. And I'm not mad at you. I'm not mad at these teams. This is where you win. Like, if you can rush four guys and just drop eight, that's the way to do it. I think the 49ers kind of showed that kind of strategy. The Jets, same thing, showed that strategy that if you rush really, really good four people, four down linemen, you're going to get to the quarterback. So let's see if it works. Ron, we're not going to do another podcast, another episode until it's May right now. So we're talking about August. We're talking about 3 months from now. So what are your summer plans?
Man, summer plans. Let's start like the next couple weeks. I'll obviously be focused on the NBA, cheering for our Celtics to win back-to-back championships. Outside of that, I'll probably try to watch a little bit of baseball. Definitely going to do some vacationing for sure. Don't know where yet. Try to get together with like some family, either out in California, maybe New York. We'll see. But, I'm going to spend some time for sure relaxing, vacationing, taking it easy, and then, hoping that, it goes by relatively quick so football get here as quick as possible.
Yeah, I think I think, like you, I'm going to focus on the NBA. As a matter of fact, if you want to listen to NBA content, follow us on Chasing C-Notes, the podcast, but it's all about the NBA mostly, but it's going to be Boston Celtics. But I think, do you think the Red Sox have a chance? I know we're talking about baseball about in a football podcast, but do you think the Red Sox have a chance? I know that we just witnessed Tristan Casas just go on to the DL, basically.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, before the season started, I thought this was like a team that would hover around 500, probably be 6 games or so below 500. Right now, they're above 500, playing pretty decent baseball, but it's a long season. It's tough to tell at this point. But they're getting off to, I'd say, a pretty decent start. So, we'll see. Talk to me come,
September,
basically.
Yeah.
And, that's when I'll start to take it really serious. And, by August, I'd say you're going to know which teams are still in contention. And if they start to play really well, you'll know like who's serious and who's not, who's pretenders.
Yeah, I mean, I know that you don't follow soccer or, international football, but I think that this year, with all the FIFA stuff, it's going to set up a good 2026 FIFA World Cup in America. I'm going to be there. I don't know which city, but I'm going to be there cheering for England.
We don't know what city it's going to be at yet.
Well, we know the cities, but we don't know. I don't know where I'm going to go.
Gotcha.
So it could be Miami, it could be Atlanta, it could be New England, because they're hosting a game there in Gillette Stadium. So this is shipping up lovely.
Yeah. Next year, it's going to be a busy next season, right?
Oh, and there's 2 games that we're definitely going for football. So the Steelers against the Patriots. In Gillette Stadium.
Depending on the time of year.
Well, I know. I don't do December games. If it's late November, that could be questionable. But we know that the Patriots are going to play Tampa. So I can endure heat. I can endure the heat, but the cold is different.
Well, so my games that I'm going to, without a doubt, the Steelers at New England, most likely. And let me not say without that. Depends on if you go on time of year and all that stuff, because you're a whip. But I might go... the Steelers play the Bears in Chicago this season. So that'd be a great game to go to with Angel and whoever else wants to attend. Might be the last, couple years to experience that Soldier Field, Soldier Stadium, whatever you call it. Because they're looking to get a new stadium there too, so I'm definitely going to try to attend that game. Schedule is going to be coming out soon, so sure, we'll know by like in a couple weeks, I think. And then next year is the NFL draft in Pittsburgh, right, where we most likely will be drafting our franchise quarterback of the future. So I will be there without a doubt to see my Steelers make their first round pick. Probably be there, I'm assuming, for the entire draft, if I go. So,
well, the only place that I would actually, that I would actually tolerate coldness is Lambeau Field. Still, Chicago is not my thing, and I moved out of New England for a reason, because I did not like shoveling snow. So you say I'm a wimp. I say I'm smart because I don't shovel snow.
You don't have to shovel if you're just watching a game. No,
yes,
man.
You still have to shovel. You still have to shovel because there's snow on your seat. See, this is the things that you don't know. You're like...
Yeah, I lived in Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, but obviously you forgot how you have to scrape ice out the windshield. You have to take snow off your seat. You obviously don't remember these things. That's why you're excited to go in December. And I'm telling you, it's overrated. But... you have your wish, I have my wish. I forgot, we'll do a live podcast when the schedule is released in May. So we're not going to talk about, football related things, but we are going to talk about the schedule. So look us up, our YouTube channel. We're going to go live. We're going to go talk about the schedule.
Make an instant prediction for our team.
Instant prediction, like what, you know,
10
way
wins.
Too early. Even though we don't know who's going to make the roster, we're going to have our predictions just after the schedule release. So be on the lookout for that. So that'll be episode 123 up in basically 2 weeks. So we're gonna go live, like I said. So Ron, do you have anything else to say to the crew out there?
Nah, man, enjoy the summer. You know, football will be here before you know it. But stay safe and thanks for supporting us. And that's it.
Yeah, that sounds good. So in that case, I say peace.
Peace.
All right, that's it, guys. That's the end of the show. Thanks so much for all your support and listening today. If you got any questions, comments, feedback, feel free to email us at simsportsmedia@gmail.com. That's simsportsmedia@gmail.com. Peace.